InvestTalk is brought to you today by Health IQ. People who work out and eat healthy shouldn't have to pay as much for life insurance. That's the whole idea behind Health IQ. If you're a Health IQ customer, you could save up to 33% on your life insurance premium. How do you find out more about it? To see if you qualify, get your free quote today at healthiq.com/invest or mention the promo code INVEST when you talk to a Health IQ agent. This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Invest Talk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next Invest Talk.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to our edition of Invest Talk. And let's see if we can make this hour worth your investment of time. And that's the most important asset that we all have is time. And we are trying to make the most of this hour for you. And that's why your calls are always the most important. And we call this above average investing for the average investor. And if you ever heard of ARMS Index, maybe it's worth getting acquainted with on a day like today that saw Amazon lead a sell-off, taking the NASDAQ into negative territory for the year. Amazon was down about 5% today, down more than 8% over the past month. Now, the ARMS Index is a technical analysis indicator that compares advancing and declining stocks, issues, and trading volume as an indicator of overall market sentiment. It measures the relationship between the market supply and demand, and it's used as a predictor of future price movements in the market. Now, Investopedia says the ARMS index seeks to provide a more dynamic explanation of overall movement in the composite value of stock exchanges, such as the NYSE or the NASDAQ. It does that by analyzing the strength and breadth of these movements, meaning how broad are is the dispersion of the movement. Is it narrow or is it throughout various sectors? Now, the ARMS index briefly approached its highest level since February 5th when the market saw another sharp descent recently. Now, this shows that this is a broad-based decline. The negative return on the markets in the first quarter was significant after many, many quarters of gains. This isn't your garden variety sell-off at the moment. It's a little bit more intense. And it's volatility that you haven't really seen in a long time, because with central bank money printing from the Fed to the Bank of Japan to the ECB, they've all conditioned everybody to a market with little to no volatility, because there's always liquidity being injected into the market. And that inflated asset prices, including stocks, many other types of assets, bonds, real estate, etc. Now, what you're seeing now is a return to a normal market environment. In a market environment where money costs something. Crazy, right? Where interest rates are above zero. We're not in ZERP anymore, right? Zero interest rate policy. No longer ZERP. There's some sort of cost to money. And suddenly, from the likes of Tesla to Amazon to Facebook to a lot of these companies that, while some are in better financial standing than others, the vast majority are overvalued. And that's because of liquidity, free money. The cost of capital was next to nothing, and now you're starting to see a market that's adjusting. So no one should be surprised. And if you are, you don't understand what kind of drove the market up and what's driving this volatility. Now, do you have a question about the indexes, the market as a whole, the certain sectors, growth investing versus value investing, central bank liquidity? I'm open to any money questions right now. So let's move to our Q&A session. 888-99-CHART is our number, and here's one of the callers that came in before today's program.
Hi, Steve or Justin. This is Mike from Washington. Well, we're selling our house and downsizing, so if all goes well, our house will sell soon. I have a question about where to put the equity while we're looking for another house, which might take a month or two. Mainly, I was thinking about these online banks like Goldman Sachs and like Ally Bank that pay a higher interest rate. Are these secured by the FDIC? Do you know much about that, or is that not a good place to put the money while I'm waiting? Thank you for your help. I really appreciate your podcast.
It's a great question. He's looking for a safe place to put some money to earn some sort of yield in this environment and trying to find the best place, right? The safest along with the highest yield. And I like the way he's thinking. I believe Ally and Goldman did get bank charters back during the financial crisis, and so I do think that their money market accounts are FDIC insured. Don't quote me on that. I would do your own research. There should be some sort of disclaimer in there whenever you're looking at that. It should be pretty obvious if it is FDIC insured. So I like what you're thinking, but you need to do your own research, because you know each one of these, they can offer something that has a higher yield that is not FDIC insured, even though the bank itself might be FDIC insured. So look into that a little bit more. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Now we have many topics on the table for you today. We're going to spend a few minutes talking about the ups and downs of target dated funds. Also, I have some other things on the docket, like what signs should you look for to know or have a good idea when the downturn in the market is going to stop? And have we seen any signs so far yet? We're going to talk about that. Also, the bond market, the junk bond market in particular, what is that looking like and what does that mean for the markets going forward? And then in the midst of Trump's talk about trade tariffs and China's retaliation with trade tariffs, we're going to talk about which countries have the lowest and which countries have the highest trade tariffs in the world. And you might be surprised at which ones those are.
A quick reminder, if there's a term that you hear mentioned on the program but you're unclear about what it means or you have a question about it, we want you to ask. It's very likely that you're not the only one with that same question. 888-99-CHART.
How about Mike and Santee?
I had a quick question for you about stops, where to place them. And what happened is I got into the market pretty heavily, and I picked a lot of winners there. And so they went up a little bit. I put my stops pretty much at the support level where I bought them. That was the reason I bought them, because they were down at that point.
Right.
Now, they went up, and then I didn't know when to adjust or kind of where to put the stop, so I kind of just let them sit at the point that I bought them. So what happened is I went up, and then I went back down, and I got stopped out of pretty much everything that I bought, which I made a good profit, but then I lost it all back. So my question is, where and when and how often should I adjust those stops to save some of that profit?
Okay. We adjust our stops on a daily basis, but you can't realistically do that. You cannot. So if you have a job, you know, you've got work to do. You can't sit here and spend hours, a couple hours every night looking at adjusting your stops. You know, it's just not possible. But what you need to do is at least look at them at the very minimum once a week and reset them once a week.
Okay.
If you see a stock, let's say you bought a stock at a great, you know, support level, like you say you did, Mike.
Uh-huh.
And you say, okay, this is about where they stop going down. This is a really good buy point. And then it rises up. There's several rules that you can establish for yourself, and you can pick what's comfortable to you, but one of them is followed up with an 8% stop. In other words, anytime it's below 8%, if it's high, you get out. That's the investor's business daily rule. And that's nothing wrong with that rule. I find it kind of arbitrary, because some stocks are very volatile and some stocks are not. Mm-hmm. and you get stopped out too quick on some, and then some others you take a big hit because it takes a long time to get down to 8%.
Yeah.
So I adjust it per the stock, and many times it could be, you know, I like to draw trend lines. If you think the market is getting too heady, you can draw a tight trend line. It breaks the trend line, you're out.
You know, so the more money you start to make off of the more profit you should start to tighten up your stops a little bit.
Exactly. It's rising. For instance, we had a stock, it doubled on us, and we tightened up our stop, and we got stopped out of because it was down 20%.
But, okay.
So we had it up 100%, lost 20%, 80% was our out. We got out. So, yeah, we'll take that gain. Let's say you buy at support and it breaks support right away.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got to get out.
Yeah.
Just get out. You don't worry about it. You can buy it back.
Uh-huh.
Every time it's a little bit different, Mike, on each stock. And I would reset it at least once a week. Take a look at them and say, okay. And think about how much money you want to lose of your gains.
Okay.
You may say, I'm just going to hold this for the long haul and not going to worry about it. That's okay, too. Long haul means years, though, not months.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so that's okay, too. So you can make different rules for each one, but you need to make the rules and adjust them on a weekly basis if you're a trader and you want to lock in profits.
Okay, thanks for the help.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for the call.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. This is InvestTalk. I'm financial advisor Justin Klein. That's okay. What's okay to talk about on InvestTalk? How to pick a financial advisor or an investment manager, selecting a mutual fund or an ETF, how to create a portfolio that fits your goals and your risk tolerance levels, maybe how to deal with this volatile market and still find opportunities to make money. Take part in the conversation. Ask your question. Share your comment. I want to hear from you at 888-99-CHART.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Invest Talk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next Invest Talk.
Let's go to Dan in Palo Alto. How you doing, Dan?
Thank you, Justin. Well, having a rough day. I'm fully invested. Just wanted to ask you what you all are doing or what one might do in my situation. I've raised a little bit of cash just by selling some actually parts of good performers that went up today, so I wasn't losing too much of them. I just wondered what you would do if you were fully invested. I'm assuming you all are.
Well, it depends. That depends. We're not fully invested, not in any way, shape, or form. We're definitely no. We're very under-invested in this market. We have elevated cash levels. We have a lot of hedges. This is not a market that you want to get aggressive in. Now, it depends on what type of stocks you're in. You know, if you're in growth stocks, stocks that are exciting, the tech names, you're probably in for more pain. If you are in undervalued names, maybe the utilities, maybe anti-cyclical sectors, then I think there's definitely opportunities out there, and I think your portfolio will hold up a lot better.
Okay.
Thanks for the call, Dan. Let's go to Jerry in Missouri. Is that Missouri? How you doing, Jerry?
Okay, I'm calling about the bonds. I've never bought them before, but I heard another caller ask about that. I'm interested in that, too. How are you paid? Do they pay you once a year, twice a year? How do they pay you on your interest bond?
Mm-hmm. Most bonds, are you talking about corporate bonds?
I'm talking about municipal, you know, if you buy municipal bonds, bonds in general, too.
Yeah. Bonds in general, they pay semi-annually.
Okay.
So don't think it's but there are some bonds that pay more often, but in general it's semi-annually, so every 6 months.
Okay. And then that's over the life of the bond. So if you get one that's 10 years, 15 years, whatever it is, that's how they pay.
Exactly. Yeah, and usually it's set increments. So some bonds pay maybe annually, quarterly, but generally it's semi-annually. Some bonds are what are called zero coupon bonds. Don't pay any yield at all. You buy them at a discount and like say $80, and then they mature at 100 X amount of years later, right? So that those sometimes are zero coupon bonds like that. But in general, bonds that pay some sort of interest rate, it's usually semi-annually.
Wow.
Thanks for the call, Jerry. This is Invest Talk. Transitions are often a part of life and certainly part of retiring. Moving to a smaller house, maybe in a more affordable locale, for example. Do you need help making a decision about buying or selling real estate in this market? That's a question that I think almost everybody has. I welcome any money questions for you right now at 888-99-CHART.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Invest Talk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next Invest Talk.
Target dated funds. That's our main talking point today. What are the pros and the cons of them? And for everybody out there that might not know exactly what a target dated fund is, it's basically a fund that will that plays by the normal retirement playbook that says as you get older, you should reduce your exposure to equities, stocks, and increase your position in bonds. That's something that's more conservative. Now, at the beginning of your career, when you're young, you can take more risks because you won't need the money for a long time. You can ride the ups and downs, and therefore you want to have higher exposure to stocks because in the long term, stocks make more money than bonds. So that's why you start off kind of with a riskier mix. And the targeted funds makes all the weighted adjustments for you. So every year they sell off a little bit of equities and increase those bond exposure. It's kind of like an automatic financial planner. Now this has become a very popular choice. In 2015, about 20% of 401k assets were target-dated funds. And 47% of 20-somethings held them in their retirement plan. By the end of 2015, 60% of newly hired employees held target-dated funds in their account. Now, this is mainly because target-dated funds are your default investment choice for your 401k. So a lot of people are automatically opted in their 401k, and they don't take the time or effort because they don't know what they're doing to allocate that money, so it automatically as a part of the QDIA qualified default investment alternative, I believe it is, and it will allocate you to your target dated fund that's closest to your age at retirement. So say you're 30 and say you're 28, and so 35 years roughly from now you'll retire. So it'll probably put you in a 2055 target dated fund. Okay. So just be aware that's kind of how it works. Now, should you follow this trend? Just because everyone's doing it does not necessarily mean it's right for you. First, the main reason is because all financial advisors are quick to point out, including ourselves, that everyone's financial situations are different. The same 30-year-old to two 30-year-olds aren't going to have the exact same financial situation. They're both not going to have the same risk tolerance level. They're not going to have the same income based on their job and their spouse's job. They're not going to have the same retirement date. They're not going to have the same amount of children that they're going to send to college. Those type of things. So everybody's situation is a little bit different, but target dated funds treat you all the same based only on your age. So what the better choice usually is to pick other assets outside of your target dated funds. Now, does that mean you should? Not necessarily. You need to have the expertise on your own to know what mix of assets you should have as opposed to a targeted fund. Or you should have a service like our active 401k service that will give you quarterly updates, quarterly recommendations. based on the market, fees, trends, your risk tolerance, your goals, etc. Now, not everyone has that. So if you want to be hands-off, you don't want to put in the extra effort or pay for a service like Active 401k to give you better returns, it's probably better than your uneducated guess of how to invest. And that's okay. Don't feel bad if you don't feel comfortable making those decisions. You probably went to school for something other than investing. And that's most people. And that's why most people don't know what really how to allocate their funds. And that's why targeted funds tend to be pretty popular, because it's an easy choice and they don't have to make decisions. And people have problems with making decisions on things that they don't necessarily understand. And that's just human nature. So that's why targeted funds are helpful. But are they the best answer? Are they the best solution? They aren't if you're willing to put in a little work or pay for a service like Active 401k.
Do you have questions about FDIC security, mortgages, money market funds, losses to your retirement plans? Give us a call today, 888-99-CHART.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. That's how you get through and ask your question on today's show. We're about halfway through, about 25, 27 minutes left in the show. So if you're going to get your call in, you want to do it sooner rather than later. Let's talk quickly about what's coming up on the next Invest Talk. We're going to talk about 12 retirement investment factors that are frequently overlooked. Retirement is a complex picture, and there are many things to consider, and Steve on tomorrow's show is going to go over the 12 retirement investment factors that are frequently overlooked. That will be one of the topics for the Tuesday edition of Invest Talk. Now we're here to answer your questions on any money topics, so give us a call. I want to hear from you. Call me right now at 888-99-CHART.
Well, it only makes sense, doesn't it? A fit person is a healthier person, and the data proves it. The Journal of the American Heart Association says an overall healthy lifestyle is associated with a 57 to 60% lower risk of cardiovascular disease and all-cause mortality. Well, now there's an insurance company that also understands the benefits of good health, Health IQ. Health IQ developed a unique mortality model and unique underwriting system. Health IQ can save their customers up to a third on life insurance, up to 33%. So if you invest in your good health by eating smart and exercising, you'll enjoy a payday. We invite you to go to healthiq.com/invest to see if you qualify. That's healthiq.com/invest. Or mention the promo code INVEST so they'll know you're an Invest Talk listener when you talk with a Health IQ agent. Now let's get back to the podcast.
Listening to an encore presentation of Invest Talk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next Invest Talk.
Let's go to Tony in Menlo Park. How are you doing, Tony?
Very good, Steve. Thanks for taking my call. I had a question regarding how to buy a mutual fund. When I buy a mutual fund, I try to evaluate the mutual fund manager's style and performance and whatnot. Do you have any service that you know of or any website that actually just looks at the fund manager's performance?
Have you ever looked at Morningstar.com, Tony?
Sure.
Okay, Morningstar.com has a little section on each one of those funds that says this is how it's done against its peer group. Have you seen that little section?
Yeah, I believe so.
That is where you're going to compare the managers with other managers in the same group. And Tony, that's a beautiful way to pick a fund. That's one of my main criterias, is pick the fund based on the manager. Pick
right.
The fund based on his 3, 5, and 10-year performance.
Mm-hmm.
And you want that guy, that particular guy has been there for 10 years or 5 years, and he produced this performance. And then that performance is one of the top performances of the his entire peer group. This is a big problem I have with people, you know, not checking him against his peers. You can't check him against the market, or you really need to check him against his peers. If the whole market goes down 25%, he only went down 3%, and he's the best guy, that's the guy you pick. You know, that kind of thing.
Right. I was just going to say, I'll take a closer look at that, and I appreciate your time. Okay. Thanks a lot, Steve.
Thanks, Tony. Appreciate it. John in Oceanside. How you doing, John?
I'm very good. My question is, I heard this rumor. If you buy a stock that is interest and you reinvest the interest and hold on to that stock, eventually you get rich. Is that true?
Well, that's kind of a broad statement. When you say you're talking about dividends, right? When you buy stock and it pays dividends. I'll tell you this. Dividends make up about 30 to 40% of the return of the S&P 500 over the last 100 years. Dividends are very, very important. So when you reinvest them, the answer is it will help greatly get you rich. But you have to buy the right dividend-paying stocks. You can't buy a stock that goes out of business in 20 years or 10 years.
Like ExxonMobil?
Yeah, ExxonMobil is a perfect example. It's going to last forever. You can buy a couple of drug companies, you know, that pay very high dividends. You also want to buy companies that are growing, you know, growing their earnings and growing their dividends. So it's not just paying the dividends, but also increasing the dividends. So, John, you could build like a little portfolio of these high dividend-paying, growing companies, and you'll do very well over time.
Thank you.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate it.
Managing multiple mutual funds, researching professional services, where to put your savings. If it's about money and if it's important to you, we want to know more about it. We're here for you. 888-99-CHART is how to reach Steve or Justin right now on InvestTalk.
Marie in Snow Valley. How you doing, Marie?
My husband and I are 88 years old. My daughter is helping us decide what to do with an IRA. We have about $200,000, and it was called from a bond, and this needs to be invested.
Okay.
Are we too old to think of a balanced fund or a bond fund, or should we just go to cash?
Well, you're 88. God bless you for that. How's your health?
Fine.
Are you financially set? Do you have any worries about money other than this money?
We just need this money to pay insurance policies.
Normally, at 88 years old, I would say don't put it in anything long term.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have your health, Marie, go take a trip around the world. I'm thinking if you're financially set, you know, you saved and worked and scrimped for this money all your life, and it's time to enjoy it.
Well,
I don't know. If it was me, and I'm 88 years old, and I have lots of money, and this is money I just need for insurance payments, and how much is that a year, by the way?
Well, the one we have to pay is $8,000.
Eight? Mm-hmm. So at $8,000 a year, if you made absolutely nothing on this $200,000, you got 20-plus years.
Mm-hmm.
Of money. And God bless you, I don't think you're going to make it up to 108.
No, I don't think so either.
Okay. What you could do, do you have one child daughter?
I have two daughters.
Have you been giving them gifts of up to $10,000 a year to transfer the wealth without a tax consequence?
Well, our other money's all in property, and mm-hmm. we can't because of capital gains yet.
That's right. You got issues there. I would keep it liquid. I do a CD or treasury. I do ladder treasuries or CDs. I would not get involved with the stock market at 88.
Okay.
And that's just me. If you have plenty of money, sure. If it's fun and something you want to do, sure. But otherwise, I'd probably keep it very safe, Marie.
I just want to be sure I make that $8,000.
That's right.
Okay.
Thank you very much for the call. Vic in Bay Area. How you doing, Vic?
I'm good, Steve. How you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for calling.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. Just had a quick question. I'm actually scheduled to meet up with you here in the very near future. I know we're going to have limited time, and I thought this might be useful to other people. So
okay. On
the 401Ks, pretty much that's all I've dealt with so far in my investment career.
Okay.
I would like to start taking off and doing some of the stock individually. Does one get thing for that as far as if you cash in some of the 401k investment money and invest in stocks, or is that kind of like trading in for a mutual fund?
Good question, Vic. It depends on your particular 401k, for instance. Many 401ks give you limited options of what you can buy, right?
Pretty much, yes.
Okay, and that's mostly what is out there. But some 401ks, the one I have for my employees, allows you to opt out of those options and trade individual stocks in a 401k. You have to ask your employer if that's available to you.
Okay.
And the employer has to pay for that option in behalf of its employees, but it's only $100, $200 a month. It's not a ton of money. Now, if you took the money out of the 401k and bought stocks outside, you're going to get paid tax and penalty, and you don't really want to do that.
All right.
And when we meet, Vic, bring me your selection so I can take a look at what you get to choose from.
Yeah, we'll do. I'll definitely bring that. And then also, there was something that I wanted to ask you about, a plan that's supposed to solidify your mortgage in 9 years, and I don't know how the heck they can do that, but I'll bring that along as well.
We'll talk about that, too. I've done those kinds of things myself and have gotten burned and gotten great benefit from it. Depends on the plan.
Okay, good deal. I'll bring that along as well. Thanks a lot, Steve.
Thanks, Vic. Appreciate the call. Look forward to seeing you.
Let's go to Gene in Texas. How you doing, Gene?
Hello, sir. I thoroughly enjoy listening to your program. And I'm a 64-year-old married man, very risk-averse. I'm embarrassed because I have just opened a portfolio. I bought 2 CDs so far through a Schwab account. I'm reading Investopedia voraciously. I do have a 3-month emergency fund and $10,000 in cash in the bank and some precious metals. My debt load is small, and we try to live within our means. We're putting extra money towards our mortgage. If Social Security holds up, I should receive around $2,000 a month at age 66. So I have a 5 to 6 year window. I'm totally embarrassed. Am I hopeless?
Are you hopeless? It's hard. You gave me a pretty good rundown, but I don't know what your, I have to look at what your total assets are, what other income you might have beyond Social Security. Are you currently working or are you retired?
I am working, and I plan to work probably as long as I can into my early 70s or something. And our mortgage is down to about $40,000, so we've been putting money toward that to become debt free, which will help.
Well, I would definitely try to get that paid off by the time you retire, and then I would also encourage you to work as long as you can. You said you want to work into your 70s. Nothing wrong with that, and that will help you get the most from your Social Security payout. So those two things are definitely goals for you, I would imagine, and I think they should be goals and would be priorities for me if I were you, and it looks like you're on track for both of those things. From there, it goes to, okay, how much of that, of your monthly expenses post-retirement are going to be covered by Social Security, and then what's your withdrawal rate from any of your retirement accounts, savings accounts, etc. So those are the kind of calculations that, we would do for clients, and that becomes a more in-depth conversation. But if you wanted to talk to me a little bit more and give me a little more details off air, I can certainly help you with that.
Okay, am I almost at a point with concerning interest compounding that I'm almost at just a flat savings stage, aren't I?
Well, you can certainly earn some return. Yeah, I mean, the sooner and the earlier you save, and this goes for everyone out there, the better it is, right? Like you said, you have that compounding of interest over time, and that's where the true power of investing comes from. Now, that doesn't mean you can't and shouldn't focus on earning some return in the near term, but it should all depend on what your current saving situation is, as well as your spending and earning situation going forward, as well as your personal risk tolerance. So all those things come into play. And if we could have a more in-depth conversation off air, I think I could give you an idea of really where you should invest and how aggressive you should be in the short, medium, and even longer term, because you do have to look long term. Even though you seem like you think you're close to retirement, a lot of the assets that you currently have are not going to be used for 10, 15, 20 years, hopefully, and therefore that needs to be a consideration as well. So I don't think you're in huge trouble, but I also don't know your full situation as well.
Right. Okay. Well, I thank you so much for your help.
No problem. Go to investtalk.com, click on the Contact Justin button. We'll send an email or a message directly to me. Put in your contact information, any other information you want to let me know, and I can give you a broader sense of where you're at.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for the call, Gene. No problem. It can feel like you've got one hand tied behind your back when it comes to investing your 401k. Why? Because you're tied in with a very set, select amount of choices for your investments. And that can feel daunting. It can feel difficult to make good decisions. But that's why we have our investment service called Active 401k. I mentioned this earlier in the program, and you may hear Steve and I talk about it. And it's very simple. All you do is follow the instructions to help make the best possible choices within your employer-specific plan. 401k, 403b, 457, etc. And it's really like having a financial advisor who's giving you the set recommendations based on the current market environment, your risk tolerance, your fees, fast performance of the funds in your plan as well. So if you want to find out more, just go to investtalk.com, click on the investment tab, and then Active 401k.
Where do you turn for financial news and information? There are a lot of great websites out there to bring you up to date, but you can get lost in them too. If you like a quick scan of useful money topics, pay a visit to investtalk.com. Click on the InvestTalk tab and then Income Marketplace.
Now, the stock market has sold off. And that is what catches everyone's attention. It's you see that on the news, and when you go to any investment website, you'll see that straight in your face. What have the equity markets done? Well, I said this many times on the air, and I think a lot of people still don't pay too much attention to it, but hopefully you will. And what I talk about is the credit markets. The credit markets are always the most important. And this a good example is Tesla, for example, recently. Their bonds have sold off, and that's the credit markets telling a strong story that they're worried about the ability for Tesla to repay those bonds when they mature. And Tesla bonds are junk rated, and there are many other junk rated bonds out there. And if you look at the measure of credit risk for U.S. high yield bonds or junk bonds, they reached the highest level since December 2016. That's when oil prices were really low, remember? And there was worries that a lot of the oil companies were going to default. A lot of the shale companies are going to default on their loans. Many of them did. Some of them did. But a lot of them rebounded because of the price of oil as well. Now, the cost to protect a basket of junk bonds against default rose as much as 12.7 basis points. So 100 basis points is 1%. So 12 basis points is 0.12%. Doesn't seem like a big move, but in one day, that's a pretty big move. And that has increased to 373 basis points on Monday above the yield on treasuries. So 3.73% above. And like I said, that's the highest level since late 2016. So far this year, investors have pulled more than $6 billion from the two largest junk bond ETFs out there, JNK and HYG. And this is on the backs of the worst quarter for junk bonds since the financial crisis. The Bloomberg Barclays U.S. Corporate High Yield Bond Index posted a 0.86% loss through March 30th. That includes any interest earned on those bonds. So even though they yield a lot, they've been going down in price even more than what they've yielded, and this is the first time that's happened since 2008. And this is sending a pretty clear message that bond investors are starting to price in an increased level of default. And that's for a couple reasons. One is lower liquidity conditions and higher borrowing costs mean it's going to be more difficult for these companies to refinance their debt and to afford the debt once it is rolled over, right? Because their rates are going to be higher, and the potential for the economic picture to be less bright in the future, and not necessarily in the near term, but more medium term. Remember, the bond market is quicker to react. Why? It's because there's more educated investors in the bond market than there is in the stock market. The average person doesn't invest directly in the bond market. But large institutions do. Pension funds, hedge funds, etc. They invest in the bond market, and they're highly sensitive to credit risk. And when this is selling off, that's a big issue. Now, you can get your word in. We still have a little bit of time left. Give us a call at 888-99-CHART.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Invest Talk. Please call with your questions and comments, though, 888-99-CHART, 888-99-CHART, and Steve will answer them on the next Invest Talk.
Let's go to Mark and PB. How you doing, Mark? And for all those guys out there, Mark, who don't know where PB is, that's Pacific Beach. I grew up in San Diego, so we all called it PB.
Yeah. I have four different IRAs.
Yes.
I have a traditional, I have a Roth, a rollover, and a SEP.
Okay.
Can I combine any of those?
Yes. Is the SEP currently being funded right now? Is that
no,
active?
I okay. basically did it as like kind of a tax saving.
Right. I know a lot of us did.
Yeah, yeah. For about $10,000. I guess that's how much you can pull out if you were to buy a house.
Yep. I did that too. A lot of people did that. Now, yes, you could combine the IRA, the rollover IRA, and the SEP IRA into one.
What would it be under?
Now it would be just a new IRA, just a plain old vanilla IRA.
Traditional IRA.
Yes, the SEP and the rollover. Because a rollover, and Mark, this is just for everybody else. A rollover is what happens when you have a 401k at a place of business and you're working there, and then you leave. You then can roll that 401k into a rollover IRA.
Right.
And that's what you did. And now you have three IRAs that can be combined, but you have to keep the Roth separate.
Right.
Okay, because of the two different way taxes are taken.
Right.
So what you could do is you can call some money manager like me, or you can do it yourself at a bank or a mutual fund. You can do it anywhere you want to and say, I want to combine these three IRAs.
All right.
And they'll be happy to do it. We do it all the time.
All right. Great. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate the call. Roland, Mountain View. How you doing, Roland?
Fine. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for the call.
Oh, I'm interested in ETFs just like everybody else.
Now, perfect. Okay.
Is it really tough to try to build a portfolio that's balanced out of ETFs?
I don't think so, Roland. I think it's really easy these days. Why? Because if you go to that ETFconnect.com, they break the ETFs down by industries. And they have ETFs in every industry, every market, every country, almost every country anyways. They have ETFs by continents, like the EFA, you know, the Eastern European and Asian market. You can buy an ETF that covers the whole span.
Well, what about their high beta or low beta? Small cap, medium?
They actually have. ETFs that just do small cap or mid cap or large cap. Mid-cap growth, small-cap growth, small-cap
value. They're all segregated.
Borland, if you go to that ETF Connect or any one of those other options, you'll say, man, I can split these things any way I want. I can buy 10 shares here, 10 shares there, 10 shares, or 100 shares, 150 shares. I can spread it all around, and I have great diversification with not a lot of money.
And what's the minimum to get in?
You can buy one share.
Well, I mean, if you want to...
Well, you say, what the minimum? You could buy one share. I wouldn't do that, but you could. It depends on your trading costs. Let's say your trading cost is $10 a trade. Well, you know, I would like to buy enough to make it, you know, I don't have to double my money just to break even on the ETF. So for me, you know, I think you need to have about $25,000, and then you can get a very good spread, and the trading costs won't kill you.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Roland. Appreciate the call.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. And that actually segues nicely into our last talking point, which are tariffs. Obviously, UPS ships goods and things all around the world, and they have to deal with tariffs, right? Import tariffs as well. Now, in light of President Trump's highlight of tariffs and implementation of tariffs on certain goods, imported into America, and the retaliation by China and other countries that are raising their tariffs, we're entering somewhat of a trade war. Now, is it a one to worry about. You know, I worry more about central bank liquidity flows than the tariffs, but it's certainly something that can weigh on economic activity globally. Now, the World Trade Organization ranks different countries by the weighted mean applied tariff, which accounts for the volume, right? Because you can just use the average tariff, because some things get imported more than others, and if you have things that have low tariffs that get put imported a lot, that should matter more than things that have high tariffs and don't get imported very often. But what countries have the highest tariffs? It's not even, you would think that they'd be kind of bigger countries. Well, they're not. Bahamas, Gabon, Chad, Bermuda, Central African Republic, they have the highest weighted tariffs. Some countries have no tariffs at all. Singapore, Macau, Hong Kong, Switzerland. So, Macau and Hong Kong, those are Chinese territories. So, really, China doesn't have a lot of tariffs. So, I'm not sure what Trump's really getting at, but in general, there's a big difference between countries and the amount of tariffs that are applied to goods imported. Time to wrap it up. You can see more about today's talking point, know the ups and downs of target-dated funds right there on investtalk.com. There's a link to today's replay as well. I'm financial advisor Justin Klein. Steve Peasley and I thank you for making us a part of your day. Let's meet again here tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor, which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461.